Hi, Potters. Welcome to episode 66 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay.
What the hell was that?
I'm a random person. You haven't figured this out?
I don't even... What was that? I don't know what that was. I can't even describe that. It was like you got a chill.
Ooh, scary.
Okay.
66. You know, sign of the devil without the extra six.
Sure.
Everybody doesn't like it. Yeah. Okay, whatever. Moving on.
Sith like it? Six is awesome. Order 66, best thing that ever happened. Hello.
See, now I have Sesame Street in my head, which I had this in my head at work yesterday, too.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, when they count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, da, da, da.
Yep.
Yeah. So whenever somebody starts counting up consecutively like that, I start hearing it in my head.
Gotcha.
It's like I hear the Ladybug's Picnic. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
yes.
9,
11,
12, and Ladybug.
Childhood is calling.
Yes, which those who have joined us, the Q&A app is working today, so if you want to join in the episode live with commentary, you can go ahead and post in the Q&A app. You can also comment in the episode, so we'll see them both. And howdy you two, those who have joined us. See, we've already got people commenting in there, so hooray! But anyways, cosplay updates. What have we been doing? You have been doing weird things with razors.
Well, no, actually, I don't have razors. That's the funny thing. I've been using my wonderful, used-to-be fabric shears that have now turned into my hair-cutting shears. Because they're, I don't even know what they're called. They're not microfiber. What am I thinking? They have been whittled and shaved down to the point where they can cut at a micro level. There we go. But I've kind of found this new technique online to help with giving a razor edge look and adding layers to hair by just using scissors. And it's basically you hold the hair and then you take the scissors and then you just kind of do this as you're cutting at the same time. It came out really, really cool. I've been using it for my April wig because she has such huge fluffy hair and so many layers underneath it that the more that you razor it, the more fluff you get, the better it looks. So that's basically what I've been doing, is just working on that wig and making the Vegas apple that Amber has now dubbed. Look how shiny it is.
It is a Vegas apple. The thing sparkles. It's freaking sparkles.
It sparkles even in the core. I went all out on this sucker. The only thing that doesn't sparkle is like the stem. I could if I really wanted to. I could. Ooh, I should.
It looks like a strawberry with blackberry swirls all around it.
They're like little branches of evil that are coming up and destroying the apple. It makes sense. I'm doing the evil queen from Snow White. Shut up.
I wasn't going to say anything negative about it. I am still going to laugh at the Vegas apple, though. And also,
awesome.
Hi, Alan. I hope you're enjoying your time in Australia.
But yeah, that's what I've
been
doing. Oh, okay, cool. But yeah, I've been keeping it kind of light, just taking it easy, because there's not a whole lot of things I need to get done before Dragon Con. It's just, you know, it's pretty light work. I'm keeping it simple as much as I can and trying to get myself back to normal.
Dragon Con, the other big D.
That's what she said.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
We have now gone into that territory.
You said it, not me.
Well, D, Dragon Con, because that's the big thing of the year, and we're in the big D, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Oy. Anyways, what have I been doing? Aside from working my butt off at work and trying to finally veg from Akon and frantic hand sewing of EL wire onto costumes so that we could get
worth it.
So that we could get fancy photos done of us. Yeah, I bought a scroll saw, so I've already been redoing my props. And there's a giant wooden dowel up the center of this now, and I am very sad to say, Alan, that I'm sorry. I actually have a miter box and a hacksaw, so I'm not drilling holes in wood to actually cut them in half anymore. I'm actually cutting them instead of breaking them off MacGyver style.
Oh, but MacGyver style is so fun.
So there is now a 16-inch dowel at the center of my prop that I was finally able to use and cut. And so now it's not floppy anymore, and I've already literally thrown it around my apartment. I just go, whee!
Nice.
I test my props, and I said this in the video that I did. I did a video tutorial on how I'm making this so you guys can see it. But I did mention in the video that I literally take my props and I chuck them across my room because that's how you test if they're going to withstand con damage. If they're going to get bumped, prodded, you know, somebody's going to pick it up and say, hey, can I look at that, when looking involves the hands somehow instead of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure they're not going to break. So I just go, whee! Tong! Did it break? No? Great. It'll survive.
Then things are all good and well at that point.
Sorry, I had to pick it back up off the floor because I don't want to leave it on the floor because I'm going to forget it's there and then I'm going to step on it. And I'm not sure it can withstand me actually stepping on it. I am somewhat heavy compared to what the prop can hold up to. So this is what I've started with. And you can see my scroll saw, which is right. There we go.
That thing is big. Damn.
Uh-huh. It's awesome, though. It's actually a hobby-sized scroll saw. It has a 16-inch throat, mm-hmm. So I can only cut pieces 16 inches long. Otherwise, I have to turn them around and then go 16 inches the other way, so I get 32 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Math. Math is hard.
Math is hard. Math sucks.
But it has made my foam-cutting life so much easier,
mm-hmm.
because I don't have to worry about vegetable knives and hot knives and X-Acto knives and utility knives and all sorts of other sharp things I have around my apartment for cutting. Now I can just use scroll saw blades.
Oh, goodness.
But it's awesome, and it makes me very happy. I've already gotten my money's worth of use out of it.
Well, good.
It was $60. So it was cheap, but it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
It will do what I need it to do. It probably won't cut through massive amounts of wood, but that's okay. I can live with that. So once I am done with this, which I am actually almost done with already, because there's less to do with it now that it's just foam and styrene, it's already nice and hard. So I don't have to do anything fancy to it. I just have to paint it. So once that's done, I'm going to start working on Athena stuff, redoing corset, redoing bracers, making a shield for the first time in my life. And I'm going to eventually redo that EL wire stitching on the one panel because I'm unhappy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grating on the back of my mind.
Oh, no.
It's
going to keep bugging and nitpicking at you until...
Yes, it's when you have a cosplay that you have done everything like really well on, and then there's just that one little thing that you know you could have done better, but you were in such a hurry that you had to rush it and just shortcut it, and now it's like, you can do better than that. Why are you letting it stay that way? It's ugly and you know you can do better. Fix it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So before the next time I wear it, I have to fix that, because otherwise it's going to grate on my mind forever. And I won't be able to sleep or eat or do anything else except think about that.
Yep. I understand. It's okay.
It will be. I have San Japan in 2 weeks. I am not making any new costumes. There is no way. So I'm going to stick with two costumes I already have. I have not chosen both of them yet. I know Lena Inverse is going because I'm obliged to, since Lisa Ortiz is one of the guests. And she is the English voice actress of Lena. Although, I admit to wanting to be a special and unique snowflake sometimes.
I know you
when
do.
When I cosplay, I prefer, like, I don't have to be the only one in a certain costume. But I do like not having 50 other people wearing the same costume, because it's a lot harder to stand out. Because, I admit it, we cosplay for attention. That is part of the reason we cosplay. I'm just being real. So, I like being unique. If Lisa Ortiz is the guest, there's going to be more than one Lena Inverse there. That's obligatory. And it's like, well, do I want to take it with me? Do I want to be another lean in first, or do I want to take something else and be comfortable?
But here's the thing. Because it's old school anime, very few people still do those, even when the guest of honor is going to be someone from that series. You know you're going to see maybe one or two others, but the chances of you seeing more than that are probably next to none.
I heard gasps of surprise at Akon when I was wearing her. Like, nobody had ever seen it before, and it's like, really?
It's old school anime. You have no idea how many people flipped out when I made my Hot Ice Hilda for Outlaw Star, because no one ever sees that. And it's the same with everybody else from that cast. Or when we had the girls do Tenchi Muyo, like, what was it, a year, 2 years ago at Anime Fest? I mean, everybody's like, holy crap, where did this come from? Because we don't see stuff like that. So being old school anime, I think the chances of you running into another one are going to be slim to non-existent. So you'll still be your special snowflake self.
The older fans need fangirl and fanboy moments too, so we have to geek out when there's old school cosplay around.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh, that's the stuff I grew up on. Not Naruto, not Bleach, not Zoids, not Digimon, not Attack on Titan.
Hey, I grew up on Digimon. Digimon's old enough.
Not knocking any of those series. Not saying they're bad series. Simply that when we grew up, those were not the series that were immediately around. I mean, we grew up on Gundam. We grew up on Astro Boy.
Yeah. So I think the only thing that trumps that is Sailor Moon. I mean, Sailor Moon is everywhere, so I mean, that's the one thing that's kind of inconsistent. And Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball will always be around. It's the Star Wars of the anime universe.
And it's one of those are the two type of costumes where, for so many of us, we didn't get introduced to anime until Toonami and Cartoon Network. And those are the two big heavy hitters. So for us, I mean, yeah, those will live on forever. There's no doubt about it.
Which, speaking of old school, I saw this on Instructables 2 days ago. And I was sitting there for a moment going, why has nobody else done this before now? And it was the Batmobile as a Transformer.
Sweet!
And I was like, epic crossover, and it was done well. Like, nice. The person would fold over, and the Batmobile would result, like a little Hot Wheels model.
Yeah.
Just bigger, person-sized. And it was like, oh.
That's cool.
That is done right. And so then I was like, so somebody needs to do a Transformers group with all the famous vehicles. So Kit from Knight Rider.
We gotta Batmobile, get the Ghostbuster.
Herbie. The General DeLorean from Dukes of Hazzard,
Yeah, the DeLorean has to be one.
So you have to get a Transformers group together with all the different famous vehicles of our childhood. That would be epic in every sense of the word.
I need to talk to Scotty and Eric and see
so
if they're willing to do that.
Of this. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
And then adults and kids can have their fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh. Yes, we need Transformers like that. Not Michael Bay Transformers. No, no, no. We need awesome Transformers.
Pew. Yeah, that's
with
Michael
the mighty
Bay.
Explosion.
With the mighty explosion that is. I don't know if there's an explosion in Google Effects.
Maybe.
If there might be. It's still trying to load.
Okay, so if anybody's going to actually take this idea and do the Transformers group, you have 1 year to do it. Until
make it happen.
Yes, make it happen. And if you need ideas for cars, let us know. Because between both of us and some of our listeners, I think we have enough coverage that we've seen most of the famous vehicles. I mean, you could even do a Transformer land speeder from Star Wars. You can be creative with it. So
you could.
Go for it.
Okay.
All right. So now that updates are done and fangirling is done. Okay.
I have one more because I promised that I would promote this. For those who are looking for some alternative cosplay events going on this year, there's one that's being held in Tulsa on August 9th. It's called the Tulsa Cosplay Celebration. And it's just basically 1 day of just nothing but cosplay appreciation. You've got costume contests, they have workshops, they have all these cool things going on. And it actually sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. It's in this open area park. It's got this nice little stage and all this fun stuff going on. So it's called the Tulsa Cosplay Celebration. If you just look it up through Facebook, and they have a webpage as well, there you go. It's something different, and it's a free event for everybody, too. That makes it even better. We like free.
Free is good. I've noticed that there's, you know, a few cosplayers that are holding new events. Magic School Bus is a Transformer. Yes.
Who posted that? Dang. That's brilliant.
Who posted that? That is awesome. Yes. There's another one for you guys doing Transformers group. Magic School Bus.
I'm seriously going to tell Eric and Scotty about this, and I'm sure that they would be all over it.
I'm sure if you posted it to any sort of forum, there would immediately be a group.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's got to make this happen now.
I volunteer to help them light up.
I am not that skilled that I would not be able to do it.
I can. Plus, I'm acquiring power tools, so I can help out with the cutting, too. But a lot more cosplayers are actually starting to hold outside events. Not con-based events, but just party events. There's a cosplay sleepover in McKinney. There's a cosplay beach party in Galveston. And they're all within the next 2 months.
Nice.
And it's like, yeah, that's the way to do it. Since we had so many new cosplayers this year, all of a sudden they're like, there's people like me.
Yeah, exactly.
Get together and celebrate this. So they're doing it. And it's like, yes, yes. Finally, being old school cosplayer has paid off. We're setting a good example for the next generation.
Goodness. For better or worse.
Yes. So there is that. Aside from that, that's all I got for updates.
Awesome. So you want to go on your Misfit adventures now?
Yes.
Do you want to show off photos of your Misfit adventures?
Well, eventually we will need photos of the Misfit adventures.
I have most of them on my phone still. I plan to upload them.
Allie posted the Mystery Machine as a Transformer.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
We're going to have like 20 people now. This is not going to get done.
I know. Well, I mean, you can have different groups of people, but I think because there are so many PEP files out there and there are so many 3D rendering programs out there.
Sure.
That I'm fairly certain that even with my rudimentary skills, I can run these things through Blender and through PEP and get printed templates. So if people want to make a Transformer, I'm pretty sure we could make this happen if that's what people want to do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm willing to help. I'm not willing to make myself one simply because I have nowhere to put it. I have no storage space in my apartment, and I haven't gotten a house yet, so I can't do any large cosplays as much as I want to make Ray Earth. I can't do it yet, so I'll help everybody else make it. I just can't make myself one. So not until I get a house, which I'm working on. There are two very good possibilities of houses I may be able to get. So
yay, good.
Gotta get financing. All right, Weird Escapades of Amber, which is pretty much everything I do in life.
I was going to say, that's normal for you.
Yes, that is normal for me, if there is such a thing as normal in my life. So, I had my first professional photo shoot. So, cosplay level up, plus one. Yoink. And it was probably one of the strangest experiences in my life.
It was not strange. Don't say
it
that.
Was, no, I'm not saying strange in a bad way. Just strange as in I had little idea of what to expect because I have never modeled before. And I find that professional photo shoots are actually quite a bit like modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had no idea what the heck I was doing. And when you go in, storage is overrated. Yes, overrated, but partially necessary, Alan, because I can only stack up my walls so high before I risk things falling over. And I've run out of space because I have so many cosplays right now. I have, I think, 8, and I have officially run out of space. You literally cannot walk in my closet anymore, and under my bed is already full, and my walls are all full. So
her apartment's only so big. I mean,
I have a 480 square foot apartment. That's inclusive. That is everything in my apartment. It's 480 square feet. I don't even have a pantry. I don't have outside storage. My patio is 5 feet by 10 feet. Actually, no. More like 4 feet by 10 feet. It's not very big. So there is that. So we were asked by one of our photographer, for me acquaintance, for you friend, because I don't know him yet, to bring our Legend of Korra costumes for a photo shoot. And I was like, well, sure, why not? Okay.
We didn't get photos at the con. We needed photos.
Yes, or if there were photos taken of us at the con, we have not seen them yet.
They would have only been at the cosplay contest.
Yeah, despite people saying, we're going to have them up, we're going to have them up, we still haven't found them yet. So,
that's what, so eh.
So we were like, okay, we need photos of these costumes. So we went out there. After doing some frantic hand sewing, because for those who saw our costumes, we only had the upper half with EL wire, and we had bought enough for upper and lower. And it's like, do we want to do it? Yeah, we want to do it. So we hand sewed the lower half with EL wire too. So we glowed on both sides of our body.
Yay!
And so we went down there, down to the guy's studio, and you know, went in there, got dressed, put all of our costume stuff on. And then, you know, we were about to start, and, you know, there were different backgrounds we could choose from, because you can put, like, a white backdrop, black backdrop, different colors. You can always edit it in Photoshop later, and I know that. These were just generic backdrops, like you'd find in a photo studio, like when you go in with your family. And so we ended up starting, and I didn't have my glasses on because the character doesn't wear glasses, so I didn't wear them. Because that's... we're going for accuracy. And so when we were doing the photo shoot, the photographer was, you know, telling us, you know, move certain parts of your body in certain ways, and he would demo them.
Yeah, he's a demo guy.
And as a teacher, I wholeheartedly approve of this because it's not only verbal communication, but it's also visual for those who are visual, and I'm a very heavily visual learner. The problem is, I'm a visual learner when I can see it. And I cannot see literally that far. My hand, my arm's length in front of my face is how far I can see clearly without my glasses on. Everything beyond that gets blurrier progressively as you go out. So I can see, you know, blobs of color that are in the general outline of things. So I'm not going to run into a wall. But I can't see if he's doing something with his hands. And I couldn't see if he was moving certain parts of his body, like left or right, because I couldn't even differentiate between left and right, because I couldn't see that far. And so after a little while, you know, we were basically moving our bodies, he would have to come up to me and kind of move my body, which I was okay with because he asked first. But it was just like, I felt kind of ashamed that he was having to constantly physically manipulate me, because I could not see what he was demoing us to do. And so I was like, I hope this looks right, because I can't see anything. And so we did a few photos together, and then we ended up doing separates, just Val and just me. Val has had modeling experience. She did not have any trouble whenever the photographer would ask for certain emotions or certain types of poses. I kind of went in with the whole basic cosplayer mentality of, when people take pictures of you at a con, you should have three basic poses so that you can have different photos taken of you. And I was like, okay, I have three. Very generic poses, because it's a spirit. It doesn't even have arms or legs. So you have to improvise a little bit. So I had three, and then after that it was like, well, what do I do now?
Which is where Brian and I come up and start moving you and telling you what to do.
Yes. And then I had to laugh when he was like, show me your bedroom face. And I was like, what? I don't have a bedroom face, because, I have good reasons for not having a bedroom face. Let's leave it at that. And so I was trying my best, and he started bursting out laughing, like, that's not a bedroom face. And then I started cracking up, too, because I couldn't help myself, because I knew I didn't have a bedroom face. Because you know, some photographers genuinely treat this like a modeling session where they're like, work it, girl. Yeah, hold that. Okay, yeah. I'll do this. And they're really kind of into it. And I was trying really hard not to laugh during most of it because my character is supposed to be serene, not laughing. And it's really hard to do sometimes. Because, you know, you can only hold poses for so long mm-hmm. without moving. That's just the human body. And sometimes it's really hard not to crack up or to do other things in the middle of him trying to take a picture. It's really hard not to blink
mm-hmm.
when he's trying to take the picture. And I actually found that was probably the hardest part of it, was not blinking, especially because my eyes were dry.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept having to constantly blink. And then as soon as I thought he was going to take the photo, I was trying to keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
So, and I ended up getting a Charlie horse in the middle of the shoot, which made posing a little more awkward because my toes kept trying to curl in on themselves and my calf was extended. And it was like, yeah. Okay, this really hurts. And we ended up doing a pose that was down on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the Charlie horse in the middle of that, and I was sitting there going, I'm going to have yogi toes in this picture because of the Charlie horse. It was just a wacky, wacky thing. And, of course, in the middle of this, we're cracking dirty jokes.
Oh, absolutely. Duh. We're all adults. Makes it fun.
That made it twice as hard not to crack up in the middle of the photo. And, of course, I'm sitting there trying not to blush because I'm a prude. Everybody knows I'm a prude. And I will very distinctly turn red during some of that. So I had to try and keep it cool in a very literal sense so that people can see that on camera. And I didn't even look at the shots. He was showing us, like, after he'd taken the picture on the cam, the raws, what they call, without editing. And so he was showing Val.
Because Val could see.
Because Val could see. Unless I had the camera, like, you know, those old
right
3D viewer style, like right up to your eyes.
Yeah,
unless it was literally right in front of my face, I was not going to be able to see it because I am that badly nearsighted.
Mm-hmm.
And I also hate seeing pictures of myself, to be honest. So that made it twice as hard for me to look at them. And I was like, I'll just see them when they're done. Yeah, and that was the second time in life I've had face paint on. And it does not
get easier. What am I doing?
Yes, it does not get easier. I still really do not like having face paint on my face. I don't like having anything on my face, frankly. Even makeup is kind of pushing it, just because there's so much you have to put on your face if you want to do it with that smooth finish. You have to do moisturizer and primer and cleanser and foundation, and then, you know, everything else that you put on different parts, blush, eyeshadow, etc. And it's like, I go around normally to work with absolutely squat on my face. I might use concealer if I have a breakout. That's it. Nothing. And I'm sitting here putting all this makeup. It takes me a half an hour to do my makeup because I'm not skilled at it yet. And let me tell you, the eyeliner that I put on for the photo shoot is still on my eyes. I cannot get it off. Even with a Q-tip, makeup remover, water, alcohol, none of it gets it off my eyes. That stuff is liquid proof. There is no liquid that will get it off my body. So I have to wait for it to wear off. So at least it makes my eyes look nice and big, but it's like, what do I do now?
I'm trying to think if I have my makeup eye remover. I don't know if I have any left, because it works really well on the stuff that won't come off your face, and it doesn't hurt your eyes.
So, needless to say, my first photo shoot, my first professional photo shoot was very wacky.
Hey, we kept it fun. I think that's important. Most people get really freaked out when they're working with a photographer for the first time.
Yes.
I'm glad that Brian was all for it, because I was like, man, at least I know she's going to have fun with this. So we did.
And that was the other thing that I wanted to mention is for those who have never done a photo shoot with any photographer, amateur or not, you're going to be nervous. I was uber nervous being in front of a camera. The equipment itself didn't bother me. Like, I'm not intimidated by large lenses because heaven knows I film with one. So the camera itself doesn't intimidate me. It's the notion of being on film that intimidated me a little bit, and having the camera like up close to me where I know it's going to catch flaws made me a little more anxious. And just the whole idea of getting out of my shell, because you really have to do kind of become the character on film, or else your anxiety does come across in the pictures. And I found that extremely stressful because I'm not a very emotive person. I'm not a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Exo, like, like, it will come to me. It will come to me.
The
I'm
word will
thinking
magically appear.
extrovert.
Oh, okay.
See, it did magically appear.
You're
I am a huge introvert.
an
I
introvert.
only appear like one on these shows because I'm basically BSing and just kind of letting it go, like I don't care. That's the only way I appear extroverted, and that's the same thing I do in my panels too. I am a very, very heavy introvert, and that comes across on film very well. I'm not very good at being extroverted. And so he was having me do some of these things where it's like, I have no idea how to do it. You know, if you want me to do poses like this, I'm good at that. But these other kind of poses, especially where he was like, thrust out your chest, I know why he was asking me to do that. Part of it was the construction of the costume. And it was pulling back my shoulders, which made it not like that.
Yeah, exactly. It made the lines of your body look a lot nicer and got the switch going.
But it was also a sort of sexy thing, and I'm sitting there, like, I felt really awkward pushing out with my chest, so. But the photographer was very accommodating, even knowing that I had not done this before, and that can make all the difference for people like me who get very anxious easily. And he made it very easy for me. So if you guys ever have a chance to do a photo shoot with your costume, I would say go for it. You know, go out and do it. It doesn't have to be professional. It can be an amateur photographer doing it, because even amateur photographers can get some insanely good shots. We've seen them posted on the internet.
And everybody starts somewhere. I mean, the guys who are just starting out with their camera need practice too, just like a cosplayer. So, two amateurs come together, you can make some magical stuff happen.
Yep, especially if you get good perspective and a good atmosphere. Allie, the question says, what did you use?
Your eyeliner.
Whatever it was liquid Maybelline with the fuzzy tip on it. It was a marker, as opposed to liquid. It was not ink. So it was the little felt-tipped kind of marker that you used to draw across. We got it at Ulta. So it wasn't the dollar store stuff. I mean, it's good stuff, but it would be really nice if I could get it off my eyes. It happens. It
Does
happens.
happen. I
You
can
know,
say there's many times where
it could
I'm
have been
wearing,
worse.
there's many times where I've worn face paint and I've had to cover my ears and everything, and there's like a week and a half later, I'm still like, oh, there's some blue left in my ear. Ew. Okay, whatever. I mean, you try to clean it off as best as you can, you're gonna miss spots. It happens.
Yeah, I've done that periodically with foundation, where I just get little spots that I missed. And it's like, oh, man. But yes, there's a picture of me. Make noise.
I'm gonna make noise now. Amber has to be quiet. She can't say anything. La 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 la. But she did a really good job. I'm a very proud monkey. She did a lot of awesome stuff. I'm gonna see if I can get this to work without me having to cut out. I may have to cut out. Let's see. New screen share. I may have to do this one at a time. It's kind of crappy.
Oh
Here's
dear.
another one of Amber. There we go. Yay! Full shot. See? It all came together so well, so nicely. And then hang on, there's more. There is more.
But wait, there's more.
There is always more. There we go. Another one. Yay! So you can kind of see what we're talking about. Look how pretty she is. Okay, I'm done embarrassing you for now.
Thank you. I'm sitting there going, do I shut my eyes? I can't stand looking at my... I mean, not that the photos are bad photos. I'm not saying that. The photos are freaking fantastic photos.
Great. We need to get them on your Facebook page.
I don't even look like myself in most of those pictures.
That's the point.
You can't even tell it's me. In fact, I showed my coworkers the one that I have on my Facebook, the one from the contest.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one I showed them because they're always interested in what I'm doing because I have random things at my desk. Like, they'll see me chainmailing at my desk, or they'll see me sewing at my desk, or painting at my desk, and they're always looking like, what are you working on? So I show them pictures.
Sure.
And I show them that, and they're like, I didn't realize that was you.
It's like, yep, that was totally me. But that's like, the whole
look at
point.
Look at the face. You can see it's me in the face.
I consider it a compliment when somebody's not able to determine that it's me in the costume. When I can go up to a good friend of mine and they have no clue that it's me, that's a success in my book.
Speaking of pictures of our cosplay in progress.
Uh-huh. Is that your segue?
I handed you a segue on the silver platter.
Wow, that was... I don't even know where to begin with that. That was a segue and then some. Woohoo!
I aim to please and entertain.
Yeah, very much so, apparently. Yeah.
As I tell people, I make a fool out of myself on the internet every 2 weeks for people's entertainment, so.
That works so well. Yay! So, after many months of us actually like talking about this but not actually doing a segment, we're going to finally have a segment about cosplay portfolios. Yay! Jazz hands, happy times. Oh, and Alan said that they look fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. Did a good job, lady. We got a lot of fun ones. The one that we did where we're on the floor, where we're kind of doing the yin-yang thing, I'm going to have to edit it slightly because we could totally see your battery pack.
Totally see what?
Your battery pack.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not hard to edit out. I glanced through the ones that you dropped box me. Mm-hmm. Drop boxed me.
There we go.
I didn't have a chance to like look individually at each one. I just kind of glanced through the set.
Sure.
I was like, wow, that's very pretty.
See?
I still don't like looking at myself, but it is pretty. So I have to pick the best ones, maybe two or three. No, probably more than that. Probably five to put on my Facebook.
Yeah, you definitely need to update them, put them on your Facebook. Possibly your DeviantArt, too. Do you even still use your DeviantArt?
Very, very rarely.
I almost don't even use mine anymore.
I mostly use it to look at other people's things,
yeah.
Not to put up my own. I don't really have like a particular place that I use for my own stuff, although I'm seriously considering like making my own website blog thing off of Cospod's site.
Oh, okay.
It would be like cospod.org/amber.
Right.
And it would just be like where I post progress. It's like Facebook without having to be a member of Facebook.
Okay, cool.
We'll see.
That'll work.
We can toss one for you up there if you want.
Hey, why not?
We have so much space that we can use, apparently.
Anyway, using enough of it.
Portfolios.
Time to talk about portfolios. Sorry, sidetracked it just a half a step. Sorry. All right, so anyway, we're finally talking about cosplay portfolios, and it's something that I know I've talked about before in my cosplay contest panel that I like to run sometimes. So consider this like the uber in-depth version of one. And I'm going to kind of go over a couple of things today. We're going to start out with what is a portfolio, because some people don't know what a portfolio is, and that's cool. Why you should make one, the difference between the digital and the physical copies of portfolios, how to make a portfolio, the key things to do when you're building your costume in preparation for making your portfolio, and then any additional tips, tricks, or questions that we happen to get that pop up in the Q&A session. If you have any questions during this time, feel free to just shoot them and yell them out at me. There's going to be one point where I am going to be switching back and forth between a multitude of portfolios that I currently have on my computer. So I won't be able to actually read the Q&A session, in which case I'm going to prompt Amber to actually look for me. So if you have a question during that time, don't feel like I'm trying to ignore you. It's just a matter of I can't see the screen because I'm looking at something else. That's the only reason. And Amber, you're more than welcome to talk during this time. I know for our recent costume, I was the one who put together portfolio, but I'm sure you've got some experience in it as well.
A bit.
A bit.
I'm a little newer to the portfolio thing than you are, mm-hmm. simply because I have been competing for a while. I just haven't always done a portfolio for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that.
And it's one of those things where most cons don't really require a portfolio, but as more and more of them are becoming prestigious and having bigger and bigger awards, they need portfolios to back up that, yes, you did indeed do your work. So,
plus, if they have people in a competition that are really, really close, like when they're trying to place people,
mm-hmm.
portfolios can actually make the difference, because not necessarily having the portfolio makes the difference, but they'll page through it and look at what you've done in terms of construction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what helps them make the decision of who should place higher.
Exactly.
They do read them.
They really do. We promise. There's a reason why you make them. They do read them. So, we'll start off with what is a portfolio? A portfolio is basically a way to bring more information about your costume to the judges that go beyond your 3 to 5 minute presentation. Most cosplay contests will have something called pre-judging, where you go to a room where the judges are, and you tell them about your costume, how you made it, what you did with it, blah, blah, blah. And it can be anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. That's not a whole lot of time to talk about your cosplay, especially if they come up, they flip your seams, and they ask you questions in the process. You may not get a chance to talk about every little detail that you did.
That's less than you think.
Yeah, it goes like that. And what's funny is that the 30 seconds when you're walking across the stage seems like an eternity versus the 5 minutes that you get with the judges. 5 minutes with the judges is like gone. You don't know where the time went. It's ridiculous. So that's where the portfolio comes in, because the portfolio is basically a way for you to add in all that extra information that you couldn't tell to the judges. Like I said earlier, it's one of those things where some cosplay contests are now requiring them, most don't. If you're going to be a cosplay guest at a convention, sometimes they want you to provide your portfolio to them so they can make sure that, yes, you're a legit cosplay guest. You obviously have the stuff to be a cosplay guest. So that's the other reason why you make a portfolio as well. And I've got one of those that's yay big now. It's a hefty portfolio. But sometimes it's how you got to prove to other people that, yes, my work is legit. Here's my portfolio of doom. Have fun leafing through that. I actually had to do that once for a commission as well. Somebody actually wanted to see more of my progress work and to make sure that I was a good fit for a commission they wanted me to do. So I sent them the nice PDF file of 100-plus pages of my works in progress. Yeah, they were like, okay, I think you're good. I don't think they went past the fifth page. Stuff, here you go. Have at it.
See, I haven't done that. So I only have, I think, 2 whole portfolios of mm-hmm. my costumes. But I end up, like, to show my work in progress and to prove that I know what I'm doing, I teach panels.
And actually, what's funny
my
is...
My panels at ACON are my portfolio.
And you know what? I've seen more people who are trying to sign up to be cosplay guests will actually have, like, a digital portfolio of them, like, teaching panels, like YouTube videos and stuff. So that's something that would be a good outlet for you, even. If we ever do future cosplay guest stuff, then here's my YouTube portfolio of all the panels and the stuff that I can teach your attendees. Why not?
Yep. And we're happy to be guests at conventions.
That was a nice thumbs up. It was kind of off camera. There we go.
Better. You can just put a giant Facebook thumbs up right over the screen.
Heck yeah, way better. It needs to go right in front of your face. Everyone will see it this way.
They'll see the thumbs up.
Oh.
Anyway,
so why should you make a portfolio? As I said, because cosplay contests are continuing to evolve, they're requiring portfolios as, you know, part of the process. It's also a good habit to develop if you're going to enter more contests in the future or if you're a habitual contest entering type of person. Like, I know some people where it doesn't matter what con they're in, they have to enter every single cosplay contest. That's just their thing. And the biggest benefit is that it will provide the judges much more detail about your costume when they're making their decision on who wins an award. For example, let's say you made like a giant ball gown and you didn't have time to talk to the judges about the hand embroidery that you did along the hem. Well, you could put that in your portfolio, hand the portfolio to your judges, and oh, hey, now they know that you did hand embroidery, which sometimes means buku extra points for craftsmanship that they don't even realize that you did. So there you go. I also think of it as like a nice backup. So if I have a presentation laid out to the judges and I have a brain fart and I forget to talk about something, I know that, hey, it's in the portfolio at least. So I know that it's there. The information is there for them. They can leaf through it at any time. I'm covered in case I make a stupid mistake and don't talk about something. Now, I think there's this feeling that having a portfolio is a surefire way that you're going to win an award, and that's not always the case. The portfolio really is there to kind of help with your presentation and just to cover things you don't cover when you talk to the judges. It's just not going to be a guarantee that you're going to win an award just because, oh, hey, I have this nice portfolio in my hands. Well, there's 50 other people behind you who also have a portfolio. Not everybody's going to win an award. And the truth is that there are some judges who don't like to look through portfolios. Some of them only want to hear your presentation. Some of them only want to check your hems and flip your seams. Now, most judges will look through the portfolio, but not all of them do. So you can't rely on your portfolio to be the only thing to carry your presentation. And I'm about ready to cough. Hang on. Water drinking time. Hang on.
Woohoo.
Water break. Need water breaks. But I also think of the portfolio as a way to show judges just how much you care about your costume. Because the portfolio process isn't something that you can do a week before the contest. This is something that you need to start thinking about the second that you start your costume. Because
this is something you should not do a week before the contest.
Okay, yeah. You should not do it the week before the contest. Most people do.
Yeah, I was going to say that there are people who make their costumes a week before the contest. So
okay.
Just because you can does not mean you should.
Does not mean you should. But it's one of those things where if you have a portfolio, you're kind of saying, hey, I care so much about my work because you're taking more time to take those photos, to get all the reference pictures in, and crafting this piece together. It's like you crafted your costume and you crafted your portfolio. You're basically telling the judges, yes, I really care about my work. Please look at my work. And that says a lot. A lot of judges respond to cosplayers who want to enjoy their costume pieces, not the ones who just do it because, oh, hey, it'll make me look pretty. You know, there's a difference. All right. So next one is the difference between the digital copies and the physical copies. We live in a digital world, and that's awesome. That's greatness. That's cool stuff. However, I am personally a huge advocate of physical copies of portfolios over the digital versions, and I have two very big buku reasons for this. The first is screen resolution and screen colors. Everyone's digital device has a different screen resolution. No matter how much we try to equal everything out, what I see on my screen for a photo may be different on somebody else's screen. And I don't have a photo of this available. It's on my phone, but it's not on my computer. But I have this great picture of Queen Amidala when I was looking for fabric initially for her, where on my phone, it looks like more of a charcoal gray. Now, I know it's black because I've seen it so many times. I have tons of other reference photos. But if anybody else were to come over and see that picture, they would be like, wait, that's kind of a charcoal gray color. That's not a black. You didn't do it right. And that's a big deal when it comes to accuracy. Judges want accuracy for the costumes, and that includes colors, cut, tailoring, all the jazz and the shebang that goes with it. So if you come in with a mascot costume that's red and you know that matches the character, you show them a phone photo where it looks more pink, the judges are going to dock off points for accuracy because they think, oh, well, the character's pink. You obviously didn't match it properly. That's why you get a physical copy of your reference photos and your work in progress photos, because the printer doesn't take into account your screen monitor settings. It is just going to be the photo as the photo, which is the photo, and nothing else in between. So go for physical copies. That's the big, big thing with me. That helps out immensely. And Amber is nodding her head because she totally agrees with me. In color, no less. Make sure it's in color. Unless you have a manga that's only black and white, then that's a lot of fun to explain to judges. And then the second reason that I have is the portfolio needs to be something that judges can take with them to thumb through at a later time and date. When they're having a bunch of cosplayers stream in one after another, they really don't have a chance to sit down and look at your portfolio and before the next cosplayer comes up. They may have 5 seconds, and they have to immediately put it away to focus on, okay, contestant number three is now standing in front of me. So it's something that they want to take with them to the judges' deliberation, and it helps them kind of weed out, okay, you know, this person can get an award, this person can get an award, this one, you know. And if you hand over your phone or your laptop or your tablet, I don't know about you guys, but I don't even let my best friend or the boyfriend touch my phone. I am not going to let a complete stranger who I don't know access to my phone for 5-8 hours. There's a chance I'll probably get it back, because a lot of, I'm not saying that they're thieves or anything, because that would be wrong and mean. Most of them are really, really nice people. But it doesn't necessarily mean that something won't happen to your phone or to your laptop or to your tablet. Phones are still really, really expensive, and I would be mortified and absolutely OCD craziness if something bad happened to my phone, like my screen got cracked. I would be PO'd beyond all belief. So that's why you give them a physical portfolio, something, I'm going to show, something like this. It's easy, it's quick, it's cheap. Just 10 cents at Walgreens is all you need. Done. And I'd rather give this to a judge, and they can bang the crap out of it. I don't care, because I can always print out another one. I can't really replace my $399 Google Plus phone. I really don't want to replace my Google phone. So that's the other reason why you do that.
Unless there's one feel, other.
Unless you feel comfortable giving the judges your tablet, I personally do not.
The other reason is technology fail.
Oh,
if
yeah, that
your
helps.
Digital copy is your only copy of your portfolio, are you really going to trust Murphy that digital device is going to work perfectly with a completely charged battery the entire time the judge has it? Frankly, as somebody who works IT for a living, I would not trust my own computer to run the entire day without issue,
let alone my
tablet, my phone, or anything else. So if you're going to use your portfolio in competition, you have to consider the fact that what happens if my device does not power on in front of the judges?
What happens if my device fails?
Exactly. Whether it fails in front of them the first time, or if you happen to be one of those that lets them take it with them into the judging room, will it continue to work perfectly in their possession where you are not there to troubleshoot it?
Mm-hmm.
And if that digital copy is your only copy, then if you have device failure, the judge suddenly doesn't have a copy of your portfolio, and it's as if you did not hand them one at all.
Exactly. Or in some instance, I've had some people who have asked me, you know, can I just bring my tablet to the presentation and take it away? And it's like, yeah, you can do that,
sure.
But it kind of defeats the purpose of the portfolio, which is to give them something to look at when you're not there any longer. Because again, you only have 3 to 5 minutes. Heck, Akon, I think we had 2 minutes. That's not enough time to get through two people for a presentation. We had 4 minutes? I don't even remember. It went like that.
We had four minutes.
I barely remember what we said.
I do, which was not enough.
Not enough.
Yes.
It's just not enough time. It's not enough time for two people. That's for certain.
Mm-hmm. So they'll let you bring it in digitally. Just mm-hmm. It's probably in your best interest to, at the very least, have a physical backup copy.
Again, I'm the belief of it needs to be something that they can take with them to deliberation, because I've been in that position before where there have been contestants who were a couple points apart from each other, and we pulled out their portfolios and started flipping through them to see, okay, which one has the better craftsmanship. And it literally came down to like 3 to 4 points between the first and second place. And that's how portfolios can help you. They can make or break you sometimes. Okay, so how to actually make a portfolio. To start off, there is no one right way to make a portfolio, but I do feel like there are general rules that people should follow to help enhance your presentation. The first thing that I would say is check convention rules. certain places like the San Diego Comic-Con circuit, which is also tied to WonderCon, Costume Con, and Dragon Con, they have very specific portfolio rules that you have to follow. And I'll actually show you one that I've made for WonderCon. You need to make sure that you follow those particular rules. Let's see, the World Cosplay Summit is also like that too, which is completely...
All Con did too.
Did they?
Their championship.
Oh, for the championship one, yes.
Yeah, they had very, very strict requirements for their portfolios.
Yeah. And which is funny when you look at the World Cosplay Summit, it's like completely 180 from how you do most normal cosplay portfolios. So make sure you check with the con rules first, and most of all the time they'll be posted on their website as to what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. But most conventions are pretty lax on how to make your portfolio. I have seen some that have been made up of nothing but like Joann's and Hobby Lobby receipts. I have seen some, like, I've made one out of a children's story before with just nothing but pictures, and it was told in, like, this rhyme scheme because my character was, you know, a jester for children. I've seen pop-up books before, too. I think stuff like that is really fun, and you can be cute and quirky with your portfolio. But there are a couple rules that I do think that will enhance your presentation. Think about first what you want to present to the judges. And this goes in conjunction with your actual verbal presentation to them. Do you want to talk about your entire costume in the portfolio? Or do you only want to talk about certain specific pieces that you know you don't have time to talk to them about? You know, do you want to talk about this embroidery? Or do you want to make the portfolio completely about how you made your prop? It's one way to go about it. Focus on the key details. Again, the things you can't say when you don't have time to talk about in your presentation. For me, I like to focus more on my hemming and the detail work, especially if I'm wearing bodysuits. It's really difficult to get judges to flip hems on bodysuits and such. So what I like to do is I like, and Amber laughs at me because, I mean, how can you flip hems on that?
No, I just have in mind the gentleman in front of us who is in a skirt and the judge flipped his skirt seam.
He seemed completely unaware that that was going to happen.
I know. So... I just remember seeing the judge flip his skirt hem, and I'm like, really?
Okay. It's just what they do. But yeah, if something like where I'm wearing a bodysuit and I've had to do this before, I will flip it inside out, take photos of it, and place it in my portfolio so I can tell the judges, hey, this is how I did the seams on the inside since I know you guys can't see it. So those are some key details that you can do if it's something or an aspect of your costume that you really can't take apart while you're in the judge's room. Another way to go about it is do the head to toe. That's something that I love to do because, again, my OCD brain works this way, is to start out by with your head, with your wig, how you did the wig styling, and then just gradually make your way down to the bottom of your costume to how you did your shoes, leg work, feet, whatever the heck you do on those. You can also do it where you can generalize on the pieces that you're speaking about in your presentation, and you can go into details on the specifics when you don't have time to talk about it. I'll show an example of this with my Lady Eboshi costume. On that one in particular, in my portfolio, I kept it very generalized on how I made the kasode and the hakama and all that type of stuff, and I went into details in my presentation, particularly because a lot of the embroidery work I did I knew would catch their eye. So I wanted to talk to them about that and then give them the general overview in the portfolio itself. And then the other favorite thing that I always say is don't say it, show it. Use photos over your words. Photos say so much about your cosplay and how you made your costume versus a paragraph and a half of stuff. Judges will understand so much about what you did and how you made, you know, this piece or this prop with a photograph than they will through an entire paragraph. And frankly, judges do not have the time to read through a paragraph on how you made a prop. Give them two photos and they'll understand exactly what's going on. Simple as that.
You get TLDR syndrome.
Yeah. I'm definitely too lazy to read. Are you kidding me? When there's 80 contestants plus, you know, 10 skits to run through, there's no way. I'm a speedy reader, but I'm not that fast. There is just no time to do that ever. So, all right. Now I'm going to go through the process of a couple of portfolios that I have made, and I get to embarrass Amber one more time with our Rava and Batu portfolio. Hopefully you guys can see that I will be taking screenshots of this and adding it and editing it in the final episode when we release it. But this is at least a good start. So this particular one is for Rava and Vatu, where we competed at Akon. And this is more like a typical portfolio that I would do. And I definitely did a lot to make sure that Amber's work was included equally as well as mine, so it's kind of a good give and take, back and forth, sharing, happiness. I don't even know if Amber actually saw the final portfolio, because she was busy. She's shaking her head no, which means no, she was too busy to look at the portfolio that I handed in for both of us. Yay!
Yeah,
time for everything.
Life was very interesting to me the last 2 weeks before Akon, so.
Yeah, it was not fun times. Didn't help that I was getting sick, too. That was awesome. So, anyway, this is how I usually set it up. My first page is going to be the name of the characters, where it comes from, and the horde of reference photos that I want to stick on there. And then, of course, my name and the costumer's name on there somewhere. It's a great way to kind of let the judges know right up front, okay, this is me, this is who I am, here's my stuff, so you don't have to start flipping through and trying to figure out what character I am. I know that sounds very trite and arbitrary, but you'd be surprised how many portfolios I've seen where people don't include any of their reference photos, so I have zero idea who the character is. I'm putting it right there in the front so you cannot miss it. You know it right off the bat. Oh, hey, that's the person who did the Rava and Vatu costumes. Awesome, cool. In this case, with the second page, I'm going to save that and fix that real quick. I don't know why an AQ popped up there. Alt-tab for the win! For the second page, what I wanted to do was add in a little section about the materials we used and how we came up with our concept for the costume. I like to do a little short section on our materials because it's easier and quicker that way instead of, like, you know, trinkling them and all over the pages that follow up. I like to be very photo-heavy, not text-heavy, so I'd rather get the materials all up in front, out of the way, so I don't have to deal with them ever again. All right, moving to the next page. Because for us these were original designs based off of core characters, I wanted to ensure that we included our original sketches. This is probably the most amount of text that I have throughout the entire portfolio, and it was just basically a way to let the judges know what our thought process was when we created these costumes. And then I moved into a couple of key things that I knew we would have zero time to talk about in our discussion to the judges. In my case, I talked about how I made the corset, and it was all made by me. I went into how Amber made her waraji, how she was very unique and innovative by using flip-flops on hers, which was still a really cool idea. And then I went into the massive amount of kanzashi making that Amber did, which was bananas and then some. Made a little blurb about how we dyed them, and I also went really quickly and briefly on why I did all the braiding work with the hair, which was, you know, to tie in with the 1920s era of Korra. And then the next page is where I talked a little bit about some of the seam work that we did for the pants and the overskirt, that the pants that Amber was wearing, the overskirt that I was wearing, because they were the two pieces that we didn't line in our costume. And I wanted to tell the judges why we didn't line them, and it made perfect sense why we didn't line them, and I wanted to show them, this is what the seams look like on the inside. The seams are perfect.
Because it's really kind of hard to flip them.
Yeah, exactly. They were the seams that we knew that they could not flip. So that's why I did that there. And then the next page, I wanted to do one page devoted to Rava, one page devoted to Vatu on the quote-unquote gradient dye work. So for my costume, I talked about why I did the jewels the way that I did. And then on Amber's costume, I talked about how she did the dye work and how we did all this cool stuff with the dye work. And then my last two pages.
Bathroom there.
Bathroom shots. I have tons of bathroom shots. Just wait. I've got more coming. And then I wanted to do one section completely focused on the wigs because, oh my God, I did so much wig work for both of ours that involved adding in extra west, having to do all this braiding in, having to make odangos and glue. So much glue was involved. So I wanted to show the judges that, you know, we put a lot of thought into how we made these wigs. And then the last page was about our accessories, certain things that they may not have had a chance to see up close. We talked about the chainmail work, how we made all the gems, and how we made our necklaces. And actually, this isn't the final one. The final one has a picture of Amber's belt on it. I just don't know which file I saved that under, so otherwise it would be like right there.
It's okay.
But yeah, you can see how it's very, very picture heavy. It's not text heavy. And I think it says a lot to the judges, like, hey, these girls really did put in a lot of effort to make these costumes. I mean, it's not something, I mean, heck, I mean, look at the, Kanzanshi Hell.
We didn't include every single piece of each costume that we did. There are some things we skipped, and that's simply for being concise. Mm-hmm. Because we know the judges are just going to sit there and quickly page through it. There's no way we could include everything in the portfolio and they would remember it. So Val wisely picked and chose the things in the portfolio that we did not necessarily emphasize to the judges while we were talking to them. There's only so much you can cover in 4 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew I wanted to pick pieces that were going to be important for us, but I knew that we would not be able to cover in our presentation. So I'm going to move on to the next one, which is also a typical portfolio that I do. This one I emphasized more on photos again because I wanted to show the judges clean lines because the costume itself is pretty simple in its silhouette and its style. So I wanted to make sure to let the judges see all of the seams that I had on the inside, how everything was fully aligned, how everything was clean and cut well and it fits nicely and all that jazz. Again, with my starter page, name of the character, series it comes from, who made the costume, my materials, and then I did a small summary about my goals for the costume. Maybe it's just me and past portfolios that I've made for my video work, but I like to tell, you know, people, you know, this is why I made this costume and why I did it this way. So it's not something that's required. I just personally choose to do it. So that's just me. And then my bathroom shots. Here's me dyeing things. I like to show, I have lots of those. You got to do it. You got to show the judges, yes, I dyed my fabric. There you go. But I went in to tell them, you know, this is how I dyed it. Here's the third dye bath and what it looks like afterwards. And then I go into picture heaven on how I did the stenciling technique and what type of paint I use. And here's me actually painting on the floor. Yeah. You don't need photos of yourself actually working on the costume. I just find it funny when I do see them. So it's just me being funny. I think it's hilarious to see myself in photos working on the costume. But then I go into how I made those techniques, what I did with the paint, and then, oh, look, there. It's a lot of photos. It's a lot of photos. But it got the message across very clearly to the judges because I did take home Best in Show with this. And that says a lot. But as you can see, yeah, go ahead.
To do these, you have to make sure that during the process of making your costume, you have to force yourself to constantly take photos.
Yep.
You can't just wait until you're done with a certain section and then take a photo of the finished product because the judges can see the finished product. They want to know the process. Mm-hmm. And so to get that, you literally, like every step, if you change anything, you need to take a decent picture of that step, which also includes having good enough lighting that you can see it. So you have to keep that in mind while you're working, is that you will need to be able to take a photo of whatever it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can't take a photo, then you can at least take video of it and then pull screenshots from that video, because obviously you can't give the judges a video. But you do have to keep that in mind because I admit I'm terrible about taking pictures of my progress. Val knows this, and she kept mm-hmm. having to remind me to take pictures because I would always basically sit there going, I'm on a roll. I need to keep going with my progress until I finish this because it is looking good and I don't want to mess it up. No, I have to stop and take pictures of it. So.
Yeah, I don't want to say I chastised her, but I did have to. I had to poke her very friendly a couple of times and say, "Amber, take poke. Amber,
where's your
take
pictures?
Photos.
Where's your pictures?
Take photos."
She's like, "Where's the pictures of your belt? Where's the pictures of your kanzashi?" And I was like, "Oh,
I need photos."
And I admit, I totally admit, I was like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was right.
it's a habit that you need to develop, and I'll talk about that actually after I'm done showing off my portfolios in the next section. Yay! But this is more of work of me showing at least this page is some of the seams, how I added the lining in, and then it goes into more of the finer details about how I had to satin stitch certain areas so that everything would attach properly to the dress without looking messy with the machine. And then, of course, painting shoes, how I made my prop, and then how I made my headpiece. But this is more of my typical portfolio style because it's so picture-heavy. I didn't really need to do a whole lot of words and text. It was all right there for them, and I just needed to be like, point, look, done. Awesome times, right? Okay, next one is going to be... I'm going to quickly go over my Lady of Boshi one. This one won me a Best Masters, and I'm going to do two versions of it. I'm going to show my original one that I gave to the judges, and then I'm going to show my updated one that I now use for my cosplay presentations for when I'm teaching this. This is the very basic one. This is probably like my third portfolio I ever made, and I think it looks like crap, personally. But the whole point of this portfolio was to give very general overviews, and then in the presentation that I gave to the judges, I went into a lot more detail. And that's basically what that is. So my standard, you know, here's, you know, name, character, what series it's from, who made it, picture. And then I went with my method of from head to toe. So I talked about how I made the hat out of bamboo, go into how I did the wig work, went to the cape, went to the kasode, a little bit of the embroidery and painting progress that went with it. But again, it's mostly text-oriented. Went to my hakama, how I made the tabby, and yes, I kind of did the flip-flop thing that you did, but I did it differently than you, because mine are actually made out of bamboo. Hurts like hell to wear. And then how I made my weapon. Now, let me see if I can... Let's see how skillfully I can flip this. Hang on. We're going to make this work. I got to find it first, though. Now, this is my new version.
I had comfort in mind with my flip-flops.
Yeah, mine not so much. This is my new version of the portfolio that I like much, much better. It adds much more reference photos. It actually has photos of me in the costume. This is not required for a portfolio. Most people don't wear their costume in full for the first time until they're at the convention. I had the luxury of being able to wear portions of this before the convention, so I got some really nice photos set up for it that I can now include in my portfolio. This is actually really good in situations where you want to be a cosplay guest or if you're wanting to show your work to potential clients. That way you can say, hey, here are pieces of the finished product, not just the works in progress. So, and again, I stuck with my original idea of going from head to toe, because OCD me. So I talk about my wig, then I talk about my hat, how I made the cape, and me actually wearing the cape. And then it's basically the same outline, you know, kasode, pants, shoes, gun.
Alan has a question.
Yes.
And he says, interesting, in both portfolios, you didn't give a photo of the final costume. Why?
Again, because I just said it, and I think he's probably going to be like, oh, now I get it. Most people don't wear the costumes until they are at the convention. In this case, the photos that I took prior to the convention were not ready in time for me to put them in my portfolio. So that was the reason for it. If I had time and that they were actually ready, I would have slapped them right on in there and completely redone my portfolio because I think my first version sucks. Yeah. I like my second version better.
In other words, most people don't have photos of themselves in said full costume by the time they have to actually send the portfolio off for printing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a timing thing. Unless you were basically literally doing your portfolio like a couple days before the con.
Because I've totally not done that before. Never done that. Ever. Okay.
I was sewing in the hotel room this year, so I have no room to speak.
There you go. All right, so now here's the uber fun one of Doom. This is one that I made for WonderCon, which had portfolio restrictions. And when I say restrictions, I mean they wanted me to go as text-heavy as humanly possible. I couldn't do more than, like, 25 pictures, I think. And I think it could only be, like, 6 pages long max, which sucks horribly. So this was a challenge to put together. And in this one, I opted to do show the judges what my final form was, as well as the original image, so they could kind of compare the two. Yes, I know the lightsabers do not match. I was flying to California. I am not putting my expensive lightsabers in luggage. don't judge me. So I used the one of those flip-out ones from, you know, Hasbro. Hey, it worked great. I won, so I don't care. So I went to the next page talking about how I sewed the costume. I created a brand new dye technique. Now, in this case, if you actually come up with something brand new that you don't think you found online before, and you came up with some crazy way to make your costume, exploit it. Put it in your portfolio. You'd be surprised how much judges love seeing new things in portfolios that they've never seen before. So put it in there. It's awesome that way. All right, so now the next fun part. Again, because of photo restrictions, I couldn't put a whole lot in there, but in my case, with only having one reference photo, I didn't have a way of knowing what her arms look like or below the knees or what's on her back. So I went into this huge detail about how the tattoos work in Star Wars. And I went into the research that I did and how I came up with the tattoo patterns. And that actually seemed to work out really, really well in my favor, which is why I have so much text on these two pages, in particular the second page, and why you don't see as many photos, because it's about, okay, here's how I came up with the tattoos and here's how it works. And then I went into details about how I did the hair, about how I chose the fabric for the cloak and the belt, and then how I made the lightsabers. I did make lightsabers for this costume. They're not pictured here because I had a really crappy picture of them. I need to update it. And again, when I took this out to California, I couldn't really use my special fancy lightsabers because I'm not taking that with me on a plane. But as you can see, this is typical for like Comic-Con, WonderCon, CostumeCon. CostumeCon, you can actually have like 20 pages of nothing but text and very few photos. They want details upon details upon details. This is not something that I would recommend for most people unless that happens to be the case. And then I have one more to go over, and I just need to flip to it. This is one that I am currently in the process of making for my Queen Amidala in order to get it admitted into, fingers crossed, the 501st. I've been told that I could get special membership even though this is a rebel costume. But I have to have a huge-ass portfolio with a lot of details in it. And a good gravy, I'm just going to do a quick scroll and you can see just how much text I have going on. Oh my god, that's a lot of text. And that's not even a fraction of the costume. I'm actually going through and talking about how I made the lace stitch by stitch. Like, if you look really closely right now, you can actually see exactly how I crocheted every single chain. That's ridiculous. And then some. But as I'm slowly progressing through this, I'm going over every little detail that I did to make this costume. You know, how I added the emblems, how I made the petticoat, how I made the coat. Oh god, that's so much detail. Never, ever, ever do these type of portfolios for a general costume convention. Ever! I will guarantee you that you're not going to win anything because the judges are not going to read it. They're going to open it immediately, shut it, and put it to the side because it's too much to read. Focus on photos. Don't do the insanity that I had to do. Happy smiley face! Okay, so a couple of key things to think about when you're building your costume for your future portfolio. As Amber has mentioned, take pictures constantly. And this is something that you kind of have to train yourself over time. Every time that you pull out all your craft stuff, pull out your camera as well. And it doesn't have to be a fancy camera. It can be your phone. It can be a point-and-shoot, whatever you've got. But you need to make sure that you are constantly taking photos as you're working. It's better to have more photos to choose from to stick in your portfolio than only three. And really, you gotta just, it's one of those things where you end up having to beat it in your head. And it's just kind of like, you know, here's my checklist of all the things I pull out of my crafting cabinet. Here's my sewing machine, here's my thread, here's my needle, here's my camera. Just add it to your checklist. It's the best way to do about it. Plan out your presentation as soon as you can. The sooner the better. The second that you know that you're entering a cosplay or a costume contest, you kind of want to get in your head, okay, what stuff do I want to talk to the judges about? And once you've narrowed that down, it's like, all right, what can I put in the portfolio from there? I mean, it's just a matter of when you know you want this to be a costume and piece that you can put forth in front of judges, that's when you need to start thinking about what am I going to put in my portfolio to make this awesome. And then another thing that I like to do is locate references that have multiple angles of the character's costume. Because a costume is a 360-degree piece. It's not just what's the front side. You got the rest of you that you got to cover too. So it's, I know it's difficult, especially when it comes to mangas and animes and even in some movies, to get a full 360 of a character, but do your best to try to get every possible shot and every possible angle as reference photos in your portfolio. You'd be surprised at how much easier it makes things instead of trying to sit there and explain to the judge, oh, well, the back of her costume kind of looks like this and it's got this A-line thing, but then it goes up like this way and then you have a seam that goes this way. They're just going to get lost and confused. It's so much easier just to get a photo of it. And it makes your life easier because then you can accurately represent the back of the costume. And then other than that, just additional tips and tricks that I have. Don't be afraid to get creative. Like I said, I've seen pop-up books before. A good thing to do, and actually let me pull up one of my other ones. With these suckers, get them during back-to-school sales. Don't go the week that everybody else is going. A lot of those back-to-school sales at like Staples, Office Depot, OfficeMax, which is now merging with Depot, is you can get them like up to a month after school starts. And these I actually got at Walgreens for 10 for a buck. And they're pretty good. They're sturdy. I mean, I've had these for a couple of years now, and 10 of them will last you for maybe 2 years or so, unless you're a habitual convention runner that you go to 10 conventions in a year. Okay, that's fine. Cool. I wish I had the money to do that, but I don't. So just, I mean, honestly, these are cheap, these are easy, and they'll withstand what you want them to do. Because if these tear, I mean, this only cost me 10 cents. Woohoo! It's not the end of the world. If you want to get the nice, big, fancy three-ring binder, go for it. You do what you want to do with your portfolio. That's totally your call. I personally just prefer the back-to-school sales because I'm cheap. And these do exactly what I want them to do. Simple as that. And then my last big thing is to make sure that you please, please, please print in color. I know ink is expensive. I understand. I work for an office supply company. Black ink is much cheaper than color ink. However, in order to make sure you represent something accurately, the judges need to see what the color of the costume is in the reference image. Please print in color. The only time there's an exception to this is if it's a black and white movie or if it's a black and white manga, because not all mangas are animes. I understand that. I get it. In which case, what you may want to do in that situation is, in your portfolio, take a page to explain why you chose the color scheme that you did, why you think the color works for the character. You can actually have an entire presentation about why you wanted these colors to work, because you only had black and white to work off of. That can actually be kind of cool. I like it when people come up with creative ways on why they chose these colors. You know, some people are like, I thought she was a happy character, so I wanted to go with pink. Or some people are like, I thought that it would be funny to do something different, so I went with purple instead of a bright blue that it could have been. I mean, be fun and creative with it, really. That's the key thing. That's all I got. How do you like that? Amber, do you have any nuggets of wisdom to add?
No, I think you've pretty well covered everything that I can think of. Oh, and if you don't want to print on your own printer at home for making these, take it to FedEx Kinko's. It's cheap. Even
It's
in
really
color.
cheap.
And even if you're working off of a black and white manga, if you have pictures of your materials and of you actually making said costume, that was probably in color as well, unless you did your entire costume in black and white too.
That could be kind of fun. I have yet to see somebody do that. That would be interesting.
I know some of the Bleach characters are entirely black and white, but you still probably have some color in there, so you'll probably still want to print in color even then.
Absolutely. Yeah, she says FedEx Kinko's, UPS does it. Some postal locations actually do it as well. I mean, you can do it at Best Buy. Some Walgreens have it. Some CVS have it. It's cheap to print. And a lot of them will take USB flash drives. So just make it in a format that's easy to use. Like, I do all of mine through Word. I know some people who choose to do it through PowerPoint. That's cool too. You know, just make sure that whatever format you use will work when you take it to FedEx Kinko's.
We've got a comment in the forum from Namdi that says, "Newcomer, so I'm trying stuffs."
Yeah, that's how you do it. Just try, see what happens. There are no limits in cosplay. The only limits are the ones you place on yourself.
And physics.
And physics. Well, hey, Mythbusters
We
defies
still
physics.
have to deal with gravity.
Mythbusters has defied physics in many, many ways, and Newtonian law. So you know what? If Mythbusters can do it, so can we.
Mythbusters also has a several hundred thousand dollar budget. If I had a several hundred thousand dollar budget, I could probably defy gravity too.
There you go.
But anyways, we will draw a close to this episode 66 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. You can reach us, as always, at any of our social media. We have more regularly been updating Facebook than anything else, so if you are a Facebook person, that is probably the easiest way to get a hold of us, along with email. But otherwise, we hope you guys are happy cosplaying. We will see you next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.